everybody. Welcome to Cheat Day, where every day is a day to love who you are. With your host, Kristen, preferred gender pronouns, she, her, hers.
And your host, Frankie, preferred gender pronouns, he, him, his. So in today's episode, we are talking about love.
What kind of love? Like self-love?
That is one type of love that we can talk about.
Friendship?
That is another type of love that we can talk about.
Familia?
Familia is definitely a love that I would love to talk about.
Partners?
Yes.
So we're going to talk about all that stuff.
Husbands.
I live.
Wives.
Yes.
Sister wives.
Sister wives. Like
maybe not. Maybe not sister wives.
Not in this house.
No.
We don't do that around here.
No.
We got sister husbands. Only sister husbands in this household.
Yes.
Yes.
And cousins.
And cousins. Wait, is that gross?
Well, not if he's not my cousin.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about self-love first?
Yeah, I think that's definitely an important topic to talk about.
Self-love.
Some people are better in that than others, but I guess everybody's definition of what self-love is different.
What's your definition?
My definition of self-love is a work in progress. Also knowing that things will never be perfect. And I need to start doing the things that I love and that I want to do now, rather than wait for the perfect moment, because that perfect moment is not going to come.
Right.
The moment's now. How about you, Kristen?
What's my definition of self-love?
Mm-hmm.
My definition of self-love is really just being kind to myself. And when I say being kind to myself, I mean the way that I talk to myself. I think we all talk to ourselves. I definitely talk to myself. I've done it forever, out loud, in my head, mostly out loud. I love looking in the mirror and talking to myself. And for a long time, I did not say very nice things. Like out loud, I would speak self-hate. I hated who I was and did not feel good about who I was. It's definitely not true today. For the most part, I use pretty kind words when speaking to myself.
Nice.
And if I find that I'm slipping back into those old patterns, I'm pretty hyper aware of it now. It's taken a long time to get to that point. And not to say that negative self-talk doesn't still happen, because it does. I'm just a lot quicker at recognizing it and being able to reframe.
Wow. That's really great. And I don't think I've ever talked to myself out loud in a negative way, but I've always had thoughts about it. And actions, like I don't go to certain places where I know I might get some looks or be judged, or I just hide in my house rather than being out there experiencing and living life due to the fear of what could happen. So I let that fear and that self, I mean, I'm going to call it self-hatred, because there have been times that I've hated myself.
Right.
More times than I've loved myself.
Right.
So I've let that self-hatred stop me from living my life to the fullest.
I feel you on that. I could say the same is true for me. There have definitely been many of moments where I haven't wanted to go out just because of how I feel about myself and what I feel like I'm presenting to the world. I don't know if that's so much the case now.
Yeah.
I feel like anxiety is what holds me back now, but I'm like, where is that anxiety coming from? It's a good question.
Yeah.
Like, is it just like clinical anxiety? Like, I just, you know, I don't like large crowds of people.
I don't either.
Just in general. I'll subject myself to large crowds of people, but it's not the first thing I would order off a menu. Large crowds? No, thank you.
No, thanks.
Not the first thing I would order.
Side of fries? No, thank you.
No. Just that self-talk. You know, like, if I can't be kind to myself, why would I think anybody else could? You know, and then that kind of ties into the love. It's like, if I don't love myself, how can I let anybody in?
Right. If you don't deserve your own love, who's...
Why would I deserve anybody else's?
Correct.
Whether it be friend, family, lover, partner, husband, wife, whatever. Mm-hmm.
So what was the turning point for you?
Addressing the disordered eating. I vividly remember sitting in my car outside of my house a few days prior to having the conversation with my therapist that I felt like I needed to go to treatment for disordered eating. Mm-hmm. And I remember the feeling in my body of how much I hated who I was. My weight, the way I felt, the way I looked, like all of it. It was all tied into one little package or big package. It was a big package.
A lot to unpack.
It's a lot to unpack. And I feel like as soon as I went to treatment, that was my first opportunity since getting clean, since dealing with the mental health issues, that I was able to address that specific thing, which was, because I feel like I eat in a disordered way when the messaging I'm giving to myself mm-hmm. is mean and right. cruel and disrespectful mm. and insensitive. And just, you know, I think growing up, I heard a lot of very mean things. I got judged a lot and, you know, and home wasn't necessarily the most accepting environment. I got a lot of amazing things out of childhood, but I also got a lot of negative messaging out of childhood. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the people around me stopped saying those negative things, I kind of took the ball and I ran with it.
Yep.
And then I became the messenger
of
all of this negativity. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to treatment, it was an opportunity to take a look at all of that mm-hmm. and kind of figure out where it came from and address the eating, but also addressing the emotions that came with it, you know, and like learning new coping skills and learning that how I feel is okay, no matter what that is. You mm-hmm. know, how I feel is how I feel in that moment. I don't have to beat myself up for it.
Correct.
I don't have to beat myself up for being human.
No.
I have.
I have to.
And still do sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that really was the turning point of addressing those voices, those negative, you know, you're fat and you're gross and you're disgusting and you're a cow and you should just fucking kill yourself.
Mm.
It's kind of heavy.
Yeah.
But that's what my head would say to me.
Right.
I don't believe any of that stuff now,
mm-hmm.
but that was a little over 3 years ago and I'm still not perfect.
Yeah.
Never will be.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel good about who I am today.
Good.
I feel good. What do you feel like the turning point is going to be for you? Or do you feel like you've already hit your turning point or you're in the midst of it?
Well, I feel like I'm aware of the fact that I deserve better. So I don't know if you want to call that a turning point or just having awareness. I'm uncertain about what the journey looks like. And I guess you never know because, you know, you never know what that's necessarily going to look like.
Mm-hmm. You don't know until you get there.
Correct. But I know that certain things and patterns and behaviors and self-talk needs to be addressed. So I'm searching for ways to do that, starting with myself mm-hmm. and try to be kinder mm-hmm. to myself and try to step out of my box of security and reach out when help is needed. And that's the start for me.
I would say that's a turning point for sure.
I know, okay. That's what we'll
Absolutely.
Call it. That's what we're calling it.
Just being open to new possibilities.
Yeah. And I'm curious, you know, because we're at that age where we are getting older, but we are not necessarily considered elderly.
We're not senior citizens yet. No discount as of yet.
Yeah, so, you know, you can have change in your life at any point, really.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I would say I'm in the sort of mid... It's not a midlife, because we're not midlife yet, but I feel that way sometimes. Like, I'm in the middle of starting, a new chapter or a new life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious to see what that's going to bring as far as love. Mm-hmm. Self-love and love of others or mm-hmm. from others. So we move away from self-love and talk about... Well, not move away. We're not moving away from self-love. We embrace it. We love it. And we need to have more of it.
It's necessary.
It is needed. I meant in the conversation.
Oh, right.
If we go on to talk about other forms of love, like the love of perhaps a partner. Mm-hmm. Did you always... Because I feel like it's an interesting idea. And now that I think about it, I feel like we are conditioned to... Since we were small, you know, and the Disney movies and all the romantic comedies, it's all about searching for Mr. or Mrs. Right, or finding Prince Charming and the princess and Cinderella and the this and the that. It's always about finding that special person. Is that something that has been a priority for you, was a priority for you growing up?
You know, I didn't go on my first date until I was 21. Mm. Yeah, 21.
Okay.
When I went on my first date.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been porked a lot, but I hadn't actually dated anybody or gone on a date. Like, nobody had actually said, hey, I want to be seen in public with you.
Wow.
Until 21. And yeah. I don't know if it was ever a priority. I think there was a part of me that always felt like I was missing out on something because...
Yeah.
You know, you see a lot of other people mm-hmm. in high school and even in grade school. Mm-hmm. I remember saying to my grade school friends, what do you mean you're dating? Where do you guys go? You guys go somewhere? You date? he gonna take you out next weekend in his mom's car? Like, what does that look like exactly?
Yeah.
What does that look like exactly? Mm-hmm. It always just kind of boggled me. I'm like, how are you dating? And you're in second grade. Like, what mm-hmm. do you...
Yeah.
So it was something that I always saw that didn't seem like it was something I could have. Mm-hmm. And I think that was always the appeal. It was like, mm-hmm. I want to know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. I want to know what that looks like. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't getting asked to dances. Mm-hmm. I was asking people to dances. Mm-hmm. And so there was always that. I also grew up in a, you know, divorced, dysfunctional family, and then dysfunctional relationships I saw after that. So I'd never seen, like, a healthy relationship between two people mm-hmm. that I'm like, wow, that looks really nice. Like, all this healthy communication mm-hmm. and mutual love and respect for one another mm-hmm. and honoring and cherishing each other mm-hmm. and being loyal. Like, I just didn't see any of that. So, and of course, I have daddy issues, but I think the appeal for me was always like, I don't feel validated by men specifically because yeah. of my daddy issues.
Yeah.
And so I want to know what it feels like to be validated by a man, and sex was the only way I could get that.
Wow.
That kind of attention growing up. Mm-hmm. So no, I wouldn't say until I met my husband now.
Yeah.
Did it occur to me that it wasn't a priority. It was just like, wow, this is something that's possible. Mm-hmm. Like, a healthy relationship is something that's possible.
Yeah.
And I think I might want to check that out, see what that's about. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in a place in my life where I could give that. Mm-hmm. And this person that I'm, you know, interacting with also seems like someone who's capable of doing that.
Right.
You know, and we just kind of saw where it went, and mm-hmm. we ended up getting married and been together over 5, married over 2, and known each other for 13 years.
Wow. That's incredible.
But I never thought I'd get married.
Yeah.
I just thought people suck too much to ever
get. Yeah.
Which is not true, by the way. Yeah. There are a lot of really amazing people out there. You just can't be wasting your time mm-hmm. with a emotionally unavailable person.
Correct.
Who doesn't want to treat you with respect mm-hmm. or, you know, put the time in and commit and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So
it's funny though, because I always thought that I would get married.
Oh, really?
And when I was a kid, I always, you know, I didn't deal with a lot of weight prejudice until I came out, really.
Okay.
Like, I didn't know that I was, I mean, I knew that I was bigger than other people, but I didn't know that it would be such a huge issue mm-hmm. to some until I came out. Because, you know, some gay boys will do that to you. Mm-hmm. But prior to that, I would say I dated girls in middle school and high school, and it was cute and all, and I didn't feel anything electric.
Right.
Until I had experiences with other boys.
Mm-hmm.
Around that age as well, around that time as well. But of course, I couldn't date them at that time.
Right.
Because I just wasn't safe for anybody involved.
Right.
And then later on, when I was maybe 19, 20, that I started to really not just hook up, but socially hang out with people that I was interested in, with men who I was interested in.
Right.
That's where it sort of clicked for me. I was like, okay, this is what this is supposed to feel like. Or this is what I would like this to be. And then I had different experiences. There's a lot of prejudice against different in the LGBT community. If you're a person of color, if you are fat, that is not considered necessarily attractive. A lot of one-sided crushes happened.
Right.
That didn't go through. And then I find myself in situations, again, with emotionally unavailable men, where I was really just searching for that connection. So at that point, I started to rethink the whole idea of what that type of love would look like for me. And the fact that it might not happen. And I had to embrace that and be okay with that.
Right.
I need to be okay with myself and just being with myself and being okay with that love and perhaps focus on other things. Like I shared in the first episode that I would like to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that is very much in the plans for the future. Maybe that is what my purpose is. Who knows?
Right.
Maybe having a partner was never in the cards. Not to say that I don't welcome the idea. If it happens,
right,
it happens. Some days I'm like, it would be incredible to come home from work and have my partner there and have those nights of, you know, Netflix and hanging out on the couch. And all of that is very appealing.
Right.
Will my world end if that doesn't happen? No. I will be okay. But I love the idea of love. I think it's great.
Yeah.
So you've been dating since you went on your first date when you were 21.
I went on my first date when I was 21. I actually had my first partner at 21.
Mm-hmm.
A young woman I had met at a restaurant I was working at.
Yeah.
And she actually, I thought I was going to marry her.
Hmm.
But she wanted to get married and have kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this little kid thing is really going to get in the way of my drug usage.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm like, I don't know if that's going to work.
Yeah.
We broke up in Africa.
Wow. Yeah, I think we touched on that.
In the first episode.
Previously.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, after that, again, searching for that male validation. Mm-hmm. And then after a couple of tries with my now husband,
mm-hmm.
it stuck. But I was kind of in the same place. Like, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, I don't need anybody to validate anything.
Yeah.
Like, I've got this.
Yeah.
I've got this, you know. I don't know if we touched on this in the first episode, but I remember telling my husband on our first date, the third try,
mm-hmm.
that I was taking a year off.
Yeah.
From engaging in anything with mm-hmm. any, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really was at that point where I was like, girl, I need to take a break because I am making some really poor decisions.
And it takes a toll on you.
It really does. It really, really does. You know, and at the end of the day, it's like you just want to love and yeah. be loved.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I had that in my life. I did have a lot of love. I had parts of my family that were engaged in my life. I have always had really amazing friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some friends stay, what is it, like a moment, a season, or a lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've always had people around me that have genuinely cared about me.
Mm-hmm.
I love my friends.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that have come and gone, mm-hmm. the ones that are still there.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody has kind of taught me something about myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely need human connection.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't necessarily ever, I need to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife, but I've always needed human connection.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm at my best when I'm connecting with people.
Okay. That's great.
To feel the love, to share the love, to be the love.
Yeah. I always think that I don't, but I do. Ultimately, I'm like super emotional, and I like to be connected. So I'm also sensitive or kind of hypersensitive about other people's emotions and feelings.
You feel affected?
Yeah.
You feel like you take on stuff sometimes?
Correct. Correct. Yeah, but I do value the connection to other people. And I do have some great friends.
Right.
I don't have a ton of friends, but I think the ones that I do have are pretty great.
Right.
Yeah.
And who's got time for a ton of friends?
I mean,
like just like some core peeps, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know some people that have tons and tons and tons. All friends, all kinds of places and spaces and time zones, area codes. I'm like, how do you manage to meet all these people?
Well, you're definitely only juggling a few at a time.
Yeah. Just a few balls.
Just
up
a
in
few.
The air.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't think anybody can cater to. I feel like there's like a certain number of people you can cater to at any one given time between like work, home.
Yeah.
Friendships.
So if we, I want to go back to these dates because I'm really interested. Did you date a lot? And if you did, what would you say was like one of your worst dates?
I'm like, did I date a lot? I feel like I sexed a lot.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like I sexed a lot, but one stands out in my mind. It was this guy that I had met on Plenty of Fish.
Uh-huh.
Shoot me now. And we had gone to a cafe in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember how this came up, but the topic of trans people came up.
Oh.
And he expressed an opinion that was nowhere near mine.
Oh, no.
Very much of a distaste.
Mm.
And that just did not sit well with me.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I never spoke to him again.
Good.
There's just certain things that are kind of deal breakers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, if you're like hardcore anything, like no matter what side it is, like I just need someone who's open-minded.
Yeah.
To seeing both sides of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
He was not open to that. Remember, that was really bad. As far as, like, dates go, I don't really feel... I was stoned, number one. But even during the times that I wasn't stoned, I didn't really go on that many dates.
Yeah.
I feel like I had a lot of dates in my apartments.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Those are valid, and I had those, too.
I made dinner. I don't know. I think I was in it for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
I think during my experience of seeing people or dating people or just engaging with people in a dating type of way, it was always me seeking the validation.
Mm.
And it got me into trouble every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always disappointed. Because at the end of the day, they can't validate me.
Correct.
I'm the only one that can validate me.
Exactly.
So it's like if I hate myself, it doesn't matter how much they like me or make me feel sexy or whatever it is. If I don't like who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there a date that stands out as a great one?
Yes. I'm thinking Andy, but then I'm also thinking my first love. I'm like, I'm sure we had dates.
Yeah.
Because we loved each other.
Yeah.
That was for two 20-somethings, like it was a nice relationship. Mm-hmm. Well, it lasted. We just were in two very different places and it just didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
But Andy, like, anytime we go to the Morrison, it's this gastro pub.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And they love holidays.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's Easter, St. Patrick's Day, Valentine's Day, like
right.
All the holidays.
Yeah.
They decorate.
Mm.
And the food's really good. Happy hour's really good.
Nice.
I think anytime you're spending time with someone who truly loves who you are, it's a good date.
Yeah.
It's a good date.
Yeah. I can, I think about, as far as great dates, there was one, and I call him the one who got away.
Okay.
So at that time, I was in a play.
Okay.
And we were just kind of friends. He was very shy.
Okay.
And we had made plans to go out to dinner after the play. He was coming to see the play.
What was the play?
I forgot. Okay. It was not a famous play. It was an original. But it was a Brown. Brown had like a theater program, mm-hmm. that was specifically for works of people of color.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I was part of that, and he came to see it after the play. We were going to dinner, and you know when you have that feeling, things are just going so well, mm-hmm. you don't want it to end.
Yes.
Then after the dinner, we went to get ice cream. Then after the ice cream, we walked. And it was like hours and hours of just talking, and it was just, I never wanted that day to end.
Right.
I never wanted it to be over. And he was just beautiful and smart and perhaps everything I wanted. But at that same time, I had met someone who happened to then become my boyfriend.
Okay.
And I made the wrong choice. Let's just leave it there.
Okay.
I made the wrong choice because I should have gone with that person that I was on a date with. But yeah, that was one of the best dates that I've ever had. Mm-hmm. And I ignored every signal. Like, literally, there were, like, neon signs to, like, go here, and I just went the other way.
Why do you think that is?
Because I don't always recognize those signs. And I think the other person seemed, I don't want to say dangerous, but, you know, some people always go for the bad boy.
Yeah, okay.
And I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. I try not to think about it too much, because then I'm like, no, I don't want to think about the coulda, shoulda, woulda.
True, but maybe that's like a template to, yeah. If I were to allow someone into my life,
yeah,
maybe I would want him to look like that person did.
Correct.
To have those same to embody those same qualities.
Correct. Yeah.
Because it is attractive to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Actually, I'm looking at this painting behind you. It's a drawing, actually. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me, it was actually, I think it was our third date, Andy and I. Mm-hmm. We went to this this art gallery opening, mm-hmm. at a house that, mm-hmm. housed undocumented minors.
Wow.
And it was a fundraiser for those young people.
Yeah.
And they had art that had been created by the young people. Mm-hmm. And they were selling it at an auction. Mm-hmm. And Andy bought one of the pieces. And we spent a couple hours at the house hanging out. And then we went to Philippe's afterwards and got French dips, mm-hmm. with the sawdust on the floor. Mm-hmm. And we went back to his house. And it was super fun. Like, like one of those nights we were like, oh, this is so awesome.
You don't,
like,
want it to end.
This is what it's supposed to look, mm-hmm. like. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily like, oh, you need to wine and dine me.
Yeah.
But just the, oh, it's so sweet that you're taking time out of your day to make time for me.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, appreciating one another, getting to know one another, connecting with, mm-hmm. one another. Mm-hmm. In such simple ways. Mm-hmm. Over a French dip and a fabulous drawing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen to your gut. Listen to your instincts.
Yeah.
Because they're usually right.
Yeah.
So as much as we love talking about love, we are going to wrap this up. Mm-hmm. But we want to say that the takeaway from this, what we hope that everybody takes away, is that love starts at home.
Mm-hmm. In the famous words of RuPaul. You want me to read it?
Yeah. Want to get it right.
If you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else?
Yes. I love it.
I love you.
I love you, mamas.
You're a dear friend.
Likewise.
And I'm super excited that we're on this journey together.
Yes.
Of doing a podcast,
yeah.
and evolving a podcast,
yeah.
and getting better at podcasting.
Yes. I feel like we always get super emotional towards the end.
We do. I get sentimental.
I feel like we both do. So
I think it's important that people express how they truly feel about
one another.
And the people in their lives. Because life is too effing short.
It is.
We just never know. Mm-hmm. So say what you think right now. As long as it's positive.
Yeah.
Keep that negative shit for the birds.
I think that I love this. And I think that we are going to do a Love Your Show segment.
Yes! Was that too loud? Red, right? Yes! Was that red? Okay. So what are some things that you're loving the shows of this week?
One thing that I love is Queer Eye. There's a reboot of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy on Netflix. Ooh. It's called now just Queer Eye.
Yes.
And I love it. It's super fun. We have 5 new fab guys. We have Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
Karamo.
Mm-hmm. Let's take it to Google. I was going to say Karamo, but you already said it.
Oh, we have Anthony.
Anthony.
Who's the food guy.
You said Jonathan, right?
Jonathan.
Okay.
And Karamo, who's a culture guy.
He is the culture guy.
And then we have, I already said Anthony, who's the food guy.
Anthony, Karamo, Jonathan.
Tan.
Tan.
Who is the fashion guy.
Fashion guy.
And then we're missing the design, interior design.
Is it the blonde guy? No.
Yeah.
Is it the blonde guy?
Yeah.
Oh, he's... Okay.
I don't know his name, though.
Let me see. Queer
Eye. Is it Bobby?
Is it Bobby?
Bobby or Billy?
Cast. Okay, it's Anthony.
Who I love.
Karamo.
Who I love.
Tan.
Who I love.
Bobby!
Yes! I got it right!
And Jonathan.
Who I love.
We live for Jonathan.
I love them. And I particularly would love to marry Anthony.
Yes. He's super cute.
He's very cute. And we follow him on Instagram. We follow all of them on Instagram.
We do.
So, yeah. I'm enjoying the show. They got picked up for season 2. So, there will be another season of it.
That's exciting.
Yeah. One thing that I'd like to mention is that maybe I'd like to see a little bit more variety, diversity when it comes to...
The men.
The people that they make over.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe save the real tearjerkers for the end.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the first 6, like, I couldn't stop crying.
Correct.
And then the last 2, were there 8 episodes?
I think so.
And then the last 2, I was like, well, I don't need to cry. It's
correct.
Fine.
Correct.
Maybe I was just desensitized by that point.
Maybe. Yeah, cried enough.
Oh, my God.
Didn't have any tears left.
Serious tearjerkers.
So, yeah, I love Queer Eye.
Yeah.
What about you?
Oh, my God. I don't even know. What am I loving this week? Oh, what is the... what is it? The show we were talking about, the robot bees and...
Black Mirror.
Black Mirror.
Yeah.
So this week, the show I'm loving is Black Mirror. So good. I'm 3 episodes into this season.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
But it's so good.
It is so good.
I actually am able to sit still
for
the hour and a half that the show is.
Yeah.
And I do not sit still.
Right. You don't.
I don't. Killer bees.
And this is the first season that you've watched.
Yeah, ever. I haven't watched any of the previous
seasons.
So you can
seasons. Watch all the other. I recommend that you go back and watch San Junipero.
San Junipero?
It's really good.
Okay.
That one's one of my favorite episodes ever.
Okay.
Yeah.
San Junipero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, okay. We're loving Black Mirror and Queer Eye.
Loving. Oh, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please join us next week where we're going to be talking about media influencers. Make sure to rate us and leave a comment. You can also find us on Instagram at Cheat Day Podcast, on Twitter at Cheat Day PCast. You can email us at cheatdaypcast@gmail.com or check our website at cheatdaypodcast.com.
Okay, bye.